Thank you, Doug. You know, many years ago, we in this country, our money was backed by what we call the gold standard. And then we had the silver standard. Many of you may remember the silver certificates that they called, the government called home. Today, we're backed by the federal government. I'm not so sure that's a good idea. But at any rate, it was a standard, and it is a standard. You and I have standards today. But what are your standards? If I were to ask you that question, how would you answer that by saying my standards are? How can I determine what is a good standard or perhaps one that is flawed? Or how do I differentiate between what is good, what is wrong, what is right? How I decide what is right and what is wrong. People often ask the question sometimes, don't you think that's wrong? And they're looking for me to agree with them and say, yeah, I think that's wrong. But it doesn't matter whether I agree with someone's concept about it or not. The real crux of the matter is whether or not the Word of God addresses that issue. And if God's Word calls it right, 1,000 preachers saying it is wrong doesn't make it wrong. And if it is wrong, 1,000 preachers saying it is right doesn't make it right. You know, we have medical standards in this country as well. The Center for Disease Control tells us a lot of things over in Atlanta about what is best for our country. Many have suggested that we take the flu shot, and I understand that some can't take the flu shot, maybe because of allergies or whatever. And this year, they say that even though people got that standard shot, that it only worked about 10% of the time. And factually, many of them now, doctors are encouraging people to get a second flu shot if it has been some time since you had your flu shot. We have standards concerning curriculum in school, don't we? We do. We have academic standards, and those standards are so important. Now, I know a lot of teachers don't like that test that they have to give to the students every year that is state mandated. But it's good for us to understand what standards are, what is good, and what is bad. We have what we call international financial standards. Greece, the country of Greece, is not living up to its standards, and that's why she's broke tonight. She is. And a lot of other nations as well, perhaps. We have standards for our health, again. We take our blood pressure, standard blood pressure. Anyone know what it should be? 120 over 80. That's right. That's exactly right. What's the standard heartbeat? Anybody know? 72. That's the standard. Now, we have standards of measurement. We measure in inches, feet, yards, miles. When we talk about liquids, we measure in terms of perhaps pints, cups, quarts. We do it in terms of liters now. We didn't used to do that, but we do. We have standards of weight. We're not going to deal with that one tonight. But there is a right way and a wrong way to worship God. Did you realize that? Many do not. God says that there is a way that is acceptable worship in His sight, and there are ways when we worship really become an abomination unto God. You see, when we worship God in the right way, God is honored. And in the book of John, the 4th chapter and verse 24, Jesus said that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him are to worship Him in spirit and in truth, for such doth the Father seek. But Jesus condemned some who were worshiping in the wrong way. they had misapplied many of the passages of Scripture regarding worship. And in the book of Matthew 15 and verse 8, Jesus said, "In vain do you worship me." Now listen to that. Paul, wouldn't that be a low blow to you if you were worshiping God? It is an act of vanity when you worship me. He says, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. They praise me with their lips." That's an act of worship to God. "They praise God with their lips," he says, "but their heart is far from me." You see, worship is not about us. It's all about God. It really is. Now, I'm not saying secondarily that we aren't blessed and subsequent to that, but God is primarily the reason we're here tonight. We're here to encourage one another, obviously, but our primary reason for being here is to honor God, to bless Him, and to show God congregationally how grateful we are for a God who loves us and ministers to every need that we have. We tell people all the time to come worship with us because we follow the biblical standard. Someone was telling me this morning, they said, "I've invited someone to come worship with me, and they have said, "Well, you know, I just don't like the church where I go because I don't agree with what they're teaching. It just doesn't come from the Bible." And the individual here said, "Well, why don't you invite them to come worship with us? Because we just simply teach the Bible, the Word of God." And you know what? That's what we ought to be teaching, isn't it? That's what we're called to worship. There is a warning to those who have no standards regarding worship. And there are some people that believe that we ought to be so free-spirited that we just do anything and everything in times of worship. But God tells us through the pen of the Apostle Paul that we are to let everything be done decently and in order. And there were times in the New Testament, especially in the church at Corinth, when people started doing all kinds of things as acts of worship, and God condemned it. What determines your code of conduct? Your standard of conduct. Now, let me share with you some things tonight about this I think that are really so important. We have to determine what makes a good standard, first of all. What is a good standard anyway? You ever really thought about that? If someone asked you the question, "What are your standards?" How would you answer that question? What about your personal standards? How do you live your life every day is a reflection of your standards. It is a reflection of my standards. And when people have no standards, there is nothing wrong, but there is nothing right. And it all lies in what we call a gray area. And you can do anything that you want. You can say anything that you want. You can engage in anything you want if we have no standards in life. We have to determine what is right and what is wrong. And if you never make that calculation between what is right and what is wrong, you will never develop a set of standards. You know, we'd like for everybody to adopt our standards, wouldn't we? Now, sometimes it bothers us, and some people think certain things are okay when we know the Bible condemns it. And it's not a matter of adjusting or perhaps compromising their standards to address mine and be like my standards. But it's a matter of whether or not God really does say something is right or whether it is wrong. Some people get upset when you talk about that. Because some people can so convince themselves that certain things are right when God condemns it. And Paul in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12 said that if a person so believes that, he can convince himself, but he doesn't convince God. He said that God would send them a strong delusion that they could believe a lie and be damned. Now listen, let me tell you why he says that. He says, because they love not the truth. If you love the truth, it becomes your standard. It does. Some people say, my standard is as good as it gets. That's the way they live. They're not interested in amending their standards if their standards are wrong. If the mores of society change, hey, I'm going to bend with them, as I was talking about this morning. We become a pillar, not a pillar. And some people say, I'm not stubborn, but my way is just better. You ever heard people say things like that? Sure you have. Maybe you said it. My standard is the only right standard, some people say. If feelings can be so easily altered, now consider this, why do we trust in them? You ever heard people say, well, I just don't feel it's wrong. Most of the time, that's what people say. They don't always say, I don't see anything wrong with it. They say, well, I just don't feel it's wrong. I don't feel it's wrong to lie. It's okay. My standard does not address the issue. And so, therefore, if I want to tell a little white lie, and I've never been able to distinguish between what is a little white lie and a big black lie. But people say, well, I just don't feel like it's wrong. It doesn't matter what you feel about it. It doesn't matter what I feel about it. I've heard people say, well, everybody's entitled to their feelings. That may be true in some things, but when it comes to the Word of God, it is not a matter of how you feel. You see, Solomon said years ago that there is a way that appeareth right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. So Solomon says, don't trust your feelings. Don't base your relationship with God and don't establish your standards based simply upon how you feel about certain things. Solomon writes in the book of Proverbs 18:2, don't act so foolish, and it is a foolish thing. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. And we got a lot of folks like that. We have some standards in this country. Our great standard for our country is called the Constitution of the United States of America. We got a lot of folks in Washington right now, and they're debating up there, believe it or not, this thing called DACA about the Dreamers. And I understand we all want to be sympathetic with people. But there is a constitutional issue that is involved, not only in that particular issue, but a number of them. And many of our congressmen and our senators, and especially in the Senate, do not want to abide by the constitutionality of that document. They really want to express their feelings. And we got a lot of blame going on. The Democrats are blaming the Republicans. The Republicans are blaming the Democrats. And both of them are blaming the president. And, you know, I mean, we could just go on and on and on. People are often foolish in following their own heart. You ever heard people make statements like this? Well, I just feel it right here in my heart that it's all right. And so if you feel it in your heart that it's all right, then it must be right. That's your standard. It is not a matter of whether or not the Word of God addresses that issue. It is a matter of how I feel. And we want God, instead of us conforming to the Word, we want God to conform to our feelings. Proverbs 28 and verse 26, a fool trusts in his own heart. God's servant said that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can trust it? Feelings are neither fixed nor are they reliable. Let me say that again. Feelings are neither fixed, because feelings change, or feelings are not reliable. You know, there are some people in our world who smile and are pleased with their feelings, and there are others who are not. It's an amazing world that we live in, isn't it? You ever heard people make statements like this regarding standards? Let your conscience be your guide. Well, I guess that's all right if your conscience is educated to the Word of God. Pretty good thing, isn't it? But if your conscience is not educated to the Word of God, you will go against the conscience that God wants you to have. And Paul said one time, he mentioned those whose conscience had been seared over, like you would sear a garment. That heart was so hardened that it could not be touched. But people let their conscience be their guide. And as I said, a conscience as your guide is all right if it's based upon the truth of the Word of God. Before the Apostle Paul became a follower of Jesus, he was killing Christians. I left out Paul's name there. But he was doing that in all good conscience. Did you realize that? There are mothers today. There was a mother here just this last week who took the life of her children. And she said, I did it in all good conscience. Do you see the illegal alien who was apprehended and placed in jail? And when they brought him into the court, he said, and he was talking about killing policemen. He had killed one. He said, I would kill a whole lot more. If I had the opportunity, I'd kill a whole lot more of them. But he was living in what we call, in his mind, a good conscience. My conscience is all right. Paul later referred to himself in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15 as the chief of sinners. Paul said that I have lived in all good conscience before God to this day. And he believed that when he was killing Christians, that he was doing it in the name of a good conscience. Some people say, again, I don't see anything wrong with it, so I'm doing it. Some people say, is that right or is that wrong? Thirdly, what about the majority as a standard? And I'm going to tell you something. This is the biggest standard, probably the most popular of all the standards that we've talked about. It's the standard that says, well, if the world thinks it's all right, it's all right. That the majority is always right. And I guess probably some of the things that make us feel that way is that we are a democratic society. And we live in a country who believes in democracy. And every one of us go to the polls and we vote for our congressmen, for our president, for our senators, for our state representatives, for our local judges. And we could go on and on and on. And we've been led to believe that the majority is always right. And so when it comes to a lot of issues in life, a lot of people say, well, everybody's doing it. And that seems to be the criteria for whether or not we determine if it's right or if it is wrong. But what about that concept? Many believe that the standard should be the majority rules. However, let me refer you to the words of Jesus. In the book of Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus taught, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." And so people assume that if the majority is doing it, that it must be right. But isn't it interesting that Christ in this text says that the majority is wrong? And that's what we call today, we generally refer to it sometimes as peer pressure. And it can destroy your life if you allow it to happen. Don't change so people will like you, however. Be yourself, and the right people will love you, the real you. Wrong is wrong, even if everyone is doing it. Right is right, even if no one is doing it. And the way of man is not in himself. Not in man to determine his steps, according to the words of Jeremiah chapter 10. But some still say, I think the majority is right. But if you feel that way, you have chosen a bad standard. Peter at one time thought it was all right to deny his Lord, and he did. Judas thought it was all right to betray his Lord, and he did. Thomas thought that he had a right to his feelings about whether or not Jesus was really the Son of God, and so he doubted. Their standards were not consistent with what the Bible teaches. Let me refer you again, I hope you can read this, in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 through 16. Solomon says, my son, those who love to do wrong will try to trick you. Don't listen to them. They will say, come with us, let's hide, and we will beat to death anyone who happens to walk by the way. Sounds like some of the things that have happened in California, doesn't it? With illegal aliens. We will swallow them whole as the grave swallows the dying. We will take everything that they have and fill our houses with stolen goods. So join us and you can share everything that we get. My son, don't follow them. Don't even take the first step along that path. He says, because they run to do something evil and they cannot wait to kill someone. Sounds like stuff that happened in modern day, doesn't it? But fourthly, some people say, well, I'll let the government determine whether it's right or whether it's wrong. That's why not long ago when President Obama was in the Oval Office in the White House and he advocated a same-sex marriage, it's amazing to me because all of that was based on his feelings. For prior to that, 2 years prior to his decision to agree with such behavior, President Obama said, it's wrong. But you see, his standards were based upon his feelings, not upon truth. We have a lot of people in federal government today that are attempting to do things that are inconsistent with the teaching of the Word of God. And their standards are not founded upon the truth from God. Governments exist to uphold standards. Listen to this. Not for the purpose of setting them. Did you realize that? They don't set the standards. They don't, certainly don't set the standard for me. Never has, never will. But we got a lot of people that are so dyed in the wool, whatever they are, whether Democrats, whether Republicans. They're going to follow a party loyalty instead of a loyalty to Jehovah God. In Romans 13, verse 3 and 4, the scripture says, people who do right don't have to fear the rulers, but those who do wrong must fear them. Do you want to be free from fearing them? Notice what he says. Then do only what is right, and they will praise you. Rulers are not God's servant always to help you. But if you do wrong, you have reason to be afraid. They have the power to punish, and they will use it. And they are God's servant to punish those who do no wrong. Now, I understand all of that, what Paul's saying. But if you have an evil and corrupt government, you don't submit to that government. How do I know that? In the book of Acts chapter 5, the Bible says that Peter and John were commanded not to preach and teach the Word of God, the Bible. And John and Peter very aggressively spoke to those magistrates and said, we must obey God rather than men. And the time may well come in this country. I think to some degree it has already come when we have to make a choice. Ronald Reagan once said, "Beware when someone says to you, 'I'm from the federal government and I'm here to help.'" But number five, the only true standard for life is the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, isn't that what we get the little kids to sing? That's the book for me. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." And he says, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." We have to, as a congregation of God's people, be resolved in our heart to uphold our standards and to stand firm in the faith and not vacillate back and forth. God has given us the Word as a standard. 2 Timothy chapter 3, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Now listen to it. "It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good work." There it is, right before your eyes. And it is so true, isn't it? You see, our real problem is that sin separates us from God. Sinful humanity, or separated from a loving and holy God by our sins. And if we persist, we'll be separated from the eternal life that Christ came to give for all of us. And so the best results are these: follow the instructions of Scripture. God calls you to step out of your comfort zone, just like He calls me. You're a victor, not a victim. And so we have to act like we got the victory and declare it in the name of Jesus that I did get it. And you know what? We're all victorious in Christ, but we are called upon by God to make our decision. And so tonight, as you reflect upon what we've shared together about standards, and I know sometimes we all have to back up and take a look at our standards and reevaluate where we are. Am I consistent with what the Bible really teaches? God calls us, and it's up to us either to decline that call or to answer it and say, "God, I want to follow you." I hope tonight, if you're not a Christian, your standard would be to follow God. Just simply be a Christian by faith and obedience to the gospel, by being buried with your Lord in baptism and raised to that new life, and that new life that embraces the standards of the Holy Scripture. And if you're here tonight and you feel the need to respond in a public way, either for the purpose of becoming a Christian or rededicating your life to Christ, as others have done in recent days, I hope that you'll do that. Doug has selected a song to help motivate us and encourage us to do that. So let us stand and let us sing.